Right, I'm going to hand over to Andy now, who's going to speak to us for a few moments. Just let me give you a little bit of a warning of an activity that we're going to ask you to do later on. Andy's looking at some verses in 1 John, and later on we're going to focus on those verses again individually. So listen hard, particularly what we're going to ask you to do is to choose one of those verses to focus on for yourself. So it's like getting the questions of a comprehension test, isn't it, at the beginning as well as the end. So there you go.
Thank you. It is the privilege of people who get to speak, preachers, whatever, to share with other people the things that are bugging them, that God's bugging them about. It's a privilege and it's also a dangerous thing. But this is something which is bugging me and has been bugging me for some time now. And I want to share that buggedness with you and see what God would say to you. And I mentioned it a bit when I spoke at our joint meeting a month or so ago about mission. And it is these verses from 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, and which our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we've seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What John is saying here is this potentially abstract thing, eternal life, the word of life, didn't stay abstract. It wasn't just a message that someone gave as a concept, as a bit of teaching, as a kind of guidelines for life type thing. No, says John, this thing which is sort of abstract, which was from the beginning, and in his gospel, you know, he explores it again at the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing was made except through him, and all of that stuff. And he talks about in the gospel that eternal word of life, that word that said, let there be and there was, became flesh. In the message, moved into our neighborhood. And he says the same thing in his letter. This word of life, this life of God, didn't stay abstract as some kind of rules for living or abstract thought, but instead it became something, someone that, yes, we heard, it was a word that we heard. But more than that, it was a word that we saw. And it was a word that we touched, that we handled, that we could actually get hold of. Because it was a person, Jesus. The life of God, not just a message for people to hear, but something for people to see in action. And then experience for themselves, touch, get hold of. Incarnation, theological term, is how God works, making things flesh. Now here's the challenge and here's the bit that bugs me. Because that's great that God did that for us in Jesus. But John goes on, a bit later on in his letter, in chapter 4 and verse 17 to say this. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Ugh. Now, I just want to be clear. I don't think in this John is saying that in every aspect of God, we're like him, we're in his image. But he focuses on love. And he says, in my reading of this, in the way that God has loved us, and that's something that you hear, see, touch, in the way that God has loved, we are that in this world. That is our calling. Now that's the bit that bugs me. Because I'm bugged by how am I living that out. How am I living out? And here comes the rest of the verses. And I'm just going to read them to you and then hand back to Lina. If we claim that we experience a shared life with him and continue to stumble around in the dark, we're obviously lying through our teeth. Sorry, this is now the Message version, you may have noticed. We're not living what we claim. But if we walk in the light, God himself being the light, we also experience a shared life with one another as the sacrificed blood of Jesus, God's Son, purges all our sin. This is how we've come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us. That's why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers and not just be out for ourselves. If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears. As I've heard someone put this, we make God invisible, and you made it disappear. My beloved friends, let's continue to love each other since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love, so you can't know him if you don't love. Is that it, or is there one more? There's no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear, since fear is crippling, a fearful life. Fear of death, fear of judgment is one not yet fully formed in love. And one more. If anyone boasts, I love God, and goes right on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, he is a speaker of, what's that term they say in Parliament? There's some sort of nice elegant term which that avoids using the word liar. If he won't love the person he can see, then how can he love the God he can't see? The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both.
Okay, to follow that up, what we would like you to do is to each choose one of those verses. Perhaps it's challenged you. Perhaps you have it's a favourite verse. For some reason, I don't really mind what the reason is, we'd like you to choose one of those verses. And we're going to give you 5 minutes or so just to kind of meditate on that. Now, in order to help that, what we've done, we've got 10 copies of each of the verses on the table there. And for those who haven't quite chosen yet, there's 20 copies of a page with all 7 of the verses on. So if you wouldn't mind, you'll have to actually stand up out of your seats and go over to the table to choose one of those. And we're going to give you 5 minutes just to think about and meditate on that verse. Okay, I hope you've had an opportunity for Father to speak to you in that. We'd like to follow that up now with what we want you to do is to either, if you feel that Father the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, to perhaps write it down, maybe on the sheet of paper. We're going to give you a couple of minutes in a moment, perhaps if you would like to tell the person sitting next to you, or perhaps in a group of 3, what it is that you've heard, what's going to be different for you this week as a result of what you've meditated on and thought about. I'd like to kick off with that. I'm going to tell you what I felt that Father was speaking to me. I chose the verse from 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, where in the Message it says, "There's no room in love for fear. There's no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear's crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is not one yet fully formed in love." So there's no room in love for fear. And I've got a confession to make that by nature, I'm a bit of a worrier. I kind of tend to worry about the future. And I've got probably a pretty good handle on that when I'm awake, you know, when I can control it. But I do have a tendency to, I think I probably have worrying dreams and maybe sometimes wake up during the night worried. And somehow things look worse, don't they, when it's dark? You know, kind of wake up in the morning and think, what was that about? And I'm aware from this, there's no room for love in fear. Fear is crippling, and it's not a life that's yet fully formed in love. So whilst I can generally control my worry during the day, I need the Holy Spirit to do something for me in the night so that I really am living a life of love that's not affected by fear. Now, I'm sure that the Holy Spirit spoke to each of us something a little bit different. So Tess, take an opportunity now. If it's something private you don't want to share, that's absolutely fine. But I would suggest that you jot it down. Or alternatively, we'll just take a couple of minutes if you'd like to pray or just mention what the Holy Spirit has spoken to you to someone sitting next to you, maybe in twos or threes, then there'll just be a couple of moments to do that. So over to you again. Okay, we're going to close by listening to a song. The words will be on the screen and we'll just listen as the CD plays.
So here's the challenge. For me, maybe for each of us, how will that deep, wide, covering, fierce, strong, furious, sweet, wild love be made flesh in my life in the next 7 days? Father, it's my prayer, that's our prayer, that your deep, wide, covering, fierce, strong, furious, sweet, wild love will be made flesh in our lives this week, so that people can not just hear, but see and touch the word of life in us, through us, and find you. In Jesus' name, for the sake of your kingdom. Amen.